Everybody, what's going on? Welcome to the Tariq Elite Radio Show. I am your gracious host. My name is Mr. Tariq Elite, and I'm ready to chop up some good game with the family. We're going to take a couple of calls in between chopping up game. The phone number is 818-850-5404. If you're not following me on Twitter, you need to do that now. That's at Tariq Nasheed. And if you're not following me on Instagram, y'all need to be doing that right now. That's at Tariq Elite, everybody. We're going to take a real quick commercial break. And I mean real quick. And when we come back, we're going to get into some real good game right here on the Tariq Elite Radio Show. We'll be right back after these quick messages, ladies and gentlemen. Don't go nowhere.
K-Soldier, the t-shirt brand inspired by ancient mysteries and modern style. Sign up for their t-shirt subscription and get a new exclusive shirt delivered every month automatically. Every shirt comes with a magazine that doubles as a poster, which describes the story and the history behind the design and the detail. It also comes with free stickers. Sign up for the t-shirt subscription right now. Tariq Radio listeners, use the coupon code KFLEX and get 50% off on your first month. That's K-Soldier. Ultra.com. Again, that's CaseUltra.com.
You're now tuning into the king of game, Tariq Elite, on Tariq Elite Radio.
Welcome back to the Tariq Elite Radio Show, ladies and gentlemen. I am your gracious host. My name is Mr. Tariq Elite. Glad to have everybody tuning into today's show. If you do not have Hidden Colors 1, 2, and 3, you need to go get the authentic copies at Amazon.com right now. Stop what you're doing. Go to Amazon.com and get Hidden Colors 1, 2, and 3, ladies and gentlemen. And speaking of Hidden Colors 3, this Saturday, October 4th, I am going to be down in the St. Louis, Ferguson area at the University of Missouri St. Louis, UMSL, at the JCPenney Theater on the campus. We're having a free screening of Hidden Colors 3. I'm having a free screening for the good people down there in Ferguson and St. Louis of Hidden Colors 3, and we're going to have a brief question and answer segment afterwards. We're going to take pictures, sign stuff, all that great, wonderful stuff. So if you're around that area, if you even in other states, you need to come on down. It's going to be good to chop up game with the family because things down there in the St. Louis Ferguson area are still bubbling. So we need to really chop up some game. So that's this Saturday. The screening starts at 5:30 Saturday. So everybody, you're going to be off work. Come on down. It's going to be hot. It's going to be fun. It's going to be constructive more than anything. It's going to be very constructive. And don't forget to go to TariqElite.com to get that fresh gear, ladies and gentlemen. Don't forget that. Let me take a couple of quick calls before I start getting into the ism. What's up? Who's calling?
Hey, Tariq. It's Geechee Dan out of Fresno.
How you doing, Geechee? What's on your mind?
Hey, I'm just calling in to see what you think about Michael Dunn getting convicted of first-degree murder.
Yeah. They finally convicted Michael Dunn, the guy who shot Jordan Davis. They convicted Michael Dunn today of first-degree murder, finally, after it was a mistrial at first, and now they finally got him. And that's good, because from what I understand, Michael Dunn and that chick he was with, they broke up. So I think, didn't she throw him under the bus a little bit?
I don't know, but I think that something like that had to happen.
Yeah.
Because it's crazy out here what they're doing.
Absolutely. Absolutely, man. But thanks for the call, fam. Yes, indeed. So I'm glad that dude, well, he already was going to jail for attempted murder. And I just hate that they had to take him to trial again to get a first degree conviction for shooting Jordan Davis. Let's get a couple of more calls here before we get into some game. I want to talk about a lot of stuff. What's up? Who's calling?
Hey, what's up, Flex?
What's up? Who is this?
This is Jazz calling from Dallas, man. How you doing,
I'm brother? Good, Jazz. You're down there where they got the Ebola scare.
Yeah.
It sound like the Ebola is attacking your phone, brother. Shit.
I think they're just trying to scare us, man. But yeah, there's one case of I think it's a guy that they said that has Ebola. So,
yeah,
it is
guy,
what it is.
I'm assuming the guy must be black or African himself, because whenever somebody white gets Ebola, they magically find the cure. But now with this,
yeah, it is a brother.
Yeah. Oh, brother, your phone is killing me, man. Your phone sounds like termites inside your phone, man. Thanks for the call. God damn. It's 2014. Where are y'all getting these raggedy-ass phones, man? I mean, they got all types of phones with crystal-clear technology. Where are you niggas getting your phones, man? Y'all getting y'all shit off eBay? Some of y'all call up here with the raggediest goddamn phones. That nigga phone sounds like a walkie-talkie. Damn. But like I was saying about the whole Ebola thing, which we know the Ebola thing is a whole farce. There have been several white people getting Ebola. Every time they get Ebola, they magically get the cure. Now this one brother gets it and comes over here. Now there's a whole scare. There's a whole epidemic and they're blaming it on Africa. It's that whole African scare tactic. This danger that came from Africa. It's always Africa. African bees are coming. AIDS for coming from Africa. Ebola coming from Africa. It's the dangerous continent. That's something to get into your psyche to look at Africa in a negative way. And you notice they always put all of Africa in the mix. They never break up Africa in different countries. See, they only do that with Africa. You notice they don't do that with Asia. They don't say, well, there's a disease coming from Asia. No, they say from China or from Korea or from Thailand. They're very specific about the countries. Even with Europe, they'll say, well, there's something coming from Europe. There's mad cow disease in the UK. They're very specific, but anything in any small sector of Africa, the whole entire continent is responsible. They don't break Africa up in little countries. They treat the whole continent the same. And Ebola, it's really in a couple of countries there. It's not the whole continent. But again, these are scare tactics. Some things that the white supremacists, they put together and put out. This whole Ebola thing is a farce. But again, we might cover that in the next Hidden Colors, by the way. We got to cover that Ebola farce. What's up? Who's calling?
All right, Flex. I had a bad connection with you just a minute ago. Man.
Oh, the same
Jazz
dude? Okay. What? You on another phone?
No, I'm on the same phone, man. I think my headset was acting kind of janky, bro.
Oh, okay. God damn, man. Again, I was talking about that whole Ebola thing, and I think it's the disease is real, but I'm just saying that it's a manufactured disease. It's definitely a manufactured disease. But anyway, let me get into some game. And thanks for the call, brother. Okay, I didn't want the brother to call back. Let me get one more call here. All right, what's up? Who's calling?
What's going on, man? This is Joseph out of Tennessee.
Joseph out of Tennessee, what's on your mind, man?
I got a question for you, man.
Go ahead.
I'm working with a female. She happens to be my manager at the time. And she actually has a dude who works with me. And it's like, basically, she's always flirting with me or whatnot. But it seemed like, from what he told me, he like, yo, he ain't really trying to feel her like that. He been cheating on the female or whatnot. But like I said, she be flirting with me. So how I figure is she probably trying to get back at the brother. Being that we all work together, do you look at that as choosing signs? Should I try to get at her? What should I do about that?
Nigga, you avoid that shit like the plague. You understand what I'm saying? All she's doing, she's trying to get her dude mad. She's trying to make her dude jealous by openly flirting with you. And she knows that her dude is picking up on her flirting with you. You know, women do little shit like that when they're trying to ruffle their main guy's feathers. So she's just trying to use you for some attention so that dude that you're working with can get mad. Her game ain't that sloppy, all right? Women's game is not that sloppy. She's being very tactful with what she's doing. and she's on some revenge shit. She probably knows he's been cheating on her, so she's going to try to flirt with you to get a little attention from you in order to get this dude ruffled and kind of ticked off so he can get back on her harder. So don't get into their little bullshit love triangle. Don't let this woman manipulate you. She ain't flirting with you. She's trying to use you for attention. Stay deeply seeped in your work, because if the minute you try to make a play, this chick is going to get you fired or something. So you don't want to go there. You don't want to get in that mix. Just concentrate on your work. Don't get into their love triangle. Stay about your money. Let them work that shit out. You feel me?
Yes, sir.
Yes, indeed. Thanks for the call. Yes, indeed. Anyway, let's get into some game. First, I want to talk about, have y'all heard about these security breaches with the president? I heard like somebody shot in the White House last week. It was something like that. I don't know. I didn't verify a lot of this stuff, but I heard there was some kind of shooting in the White House and one of Obama's daughters was in there. And there was one story that I did verify where Obama was somewhere. I think he was in Atlanta and he was in an elevator. And there was a guy who worked as security in the elevator who got into the elevator with him. And the guy had a gun. Now, he didn't pull the gun on the president or whatever, but this guy who was some kind of security guard in the building, he got through Secret Service or whatever, and he was in the elevator with Obama. And I think he tried to have a conversation with him or something. And the dude ended up getting fired or whatever. But when the guy who got in the elevator with the president had to report to his superiors, he had to give up his gun. He had a gun on him while he was there talking to the president, and he got through Secret Service. So my thing is this. These are warning signs. I think people on the top are sending little warning signs to Obama. Like, hey, man, don't step out of line. You see how easy it is for us to touch you. I think those security breaches were very, very intentional. There's no way in hell that you can let somebody get that close to the president with a gun without you intending on having that happen. Y'all know that the president, and I'm talking to the Secret Service and whoever the people on top, they know that the president has received the most death threats of any president ever. I mean, combined, he's received the most death threats. So for them to let somebody get that close to him, and this isn't the first time. Y'all remember there was a situation where this couple crashed a party that was at the White House. And these people, the couple, ended up getting some kind of reality show. So the Obamas, they're getting told in subtle ways that, hey, don't get too crazy. We can touch you. Don't say something you ain't supposed to say because we can touch you. And the situation is very interesting because, you know, the president, he's losing his black support because the black community is like, hey, brother, you've done nothing for us in all of these years. You've been in office almost 8 years and you've literally done nothing for us individually. People are shooting and blowing our brains out left and right, and you're not even saying nothing. So the black community, as you can see, a lot of that sentimental support for Obama has dissipated, and rightfully so. And that's the thing about allowing the white supremacists to keep you quiet about doing things for your own group, for black folks, because the thing is, when they're done with you, they're done with you, done with you. And then you have no backup, you have no support. So, you know, the president made his bed, he's going to have to deal with these white supremacists out here. And that's what we got to really talk about very briefly, dealing with white supremacists and not playing games with them. Not letting them manipulate us and then throwing us back to the wolves. Because when they manipulate you and use you, and you've isolated yourself from your own people, you're ass out. So the thing is, you're going to be ass out on the front end and you're going to be ass out on the back end. So if you're going to be ass out, I say be ass out by your own choice. Be ass out before you get ass in. I wouldn't even get into a situation where I know I'm going to be ultimately disregarded and tossed to the wolves. See, we got to understand how white supremacy works. They use us up, then financially strip us, then throw us back. They have their ways to do stuff. So doing the work of white supremacy is just not a very lucrative business. And that brings me to this situation that happened, and many of you may not have heard about this yet. Steve Harvey, who I like and respect, I like Steve Harvey, and I've always defended Steve Harvey, comedian Steve Harvey. A lot of people have been very critical of Steve. I like Steve. Steve has done some great things. Steve is a funny guy. I've been to the Hoodie Awards, the Neighborhood Awards and all that. Very funny guy. And I like Steve. I've been on his radio show before. I like Steve. A lot of respect for Steve. But Steve had Paula Deen on his show. And a lot of people are very critical of him having Paula Deen on his show, because what Steve is doing, he's having Paula Deen come down to one of his black boy mentoring camps, which he has in Dallas. I think Steve has these, I think it's called 100 Black Boys, these camps that they mentor these fatherless boys. And he's going to have Paula Deen mentor some of these boys and teach them about cooking and culinary skills. And I vehemently disagree with this. I vehemently disagree with this. And what I'm thinking the people on top kind of forced our brother Steve to get down with this. I just don't see Steve getting down like this on his own. There's some people on the top who said, "Hey, Steve, you like your distribution deal, don't you? You like your Family Feud money, don't you? You like this talk show and the syndication deal, don't you? Everything has been working out, right? We looked out for you, haven't we? Well, since we're scratching your back, Steve, it's time for you to scratch ours. We want to bring back our girl, Paula. We need a Negro face to help us bring her back. And we think you'll be just the guy." I really think they came with him on that. I really think they came with him on that. And you know what they'll do? They'll dangle your distribution deal in front of your face. They say, "Well, hey, Steve, well, you know, the next season is coming up and contract renewals are coming up. And, you know, this will look real good in negotiations." It's the white supremacists do stuff like that because they want to bring back Paula Deen, and they're going to bring back Paula Deen. They're going to bring her back just like they brought Dog the Bounty Hunter back. And they always do it on the backs of black folks. The same people who these white supremacists like Paula Deen and Dog the Bounty Hunter, they're not even suspected white supremacists. They're real deal white supremacists. And just because you're a white supremacist doesn't mean that you're evil and mean all the time and angry. Let's be very clear. When you say a person is a white supremacist, that doesn't mean that they're evil and mean and yelling and smacking black people in the face all the time. White supremacy is a system. Some people in that system are mean in the way they execute it. Some people execute white supremacy with a smile on their face. And Paula Deen is that kind of white supremacist. And that's the thing that really confuses a lot of black people. Because black people have this thing, "Oh, she seems so nice." And if you listen to Paula Deen with that whole racial fiasco that went down, she's such a white supremacist, it's almost comical. Because she doesn't know how offensive her white supremacist views are. Like, "Of course I said nigga, y'all." You know, she's like just real matter-of-factly about it. And not just the whole her calling somebody a nigga. It goes deeper than that. With Paula Deen, she was not trying, she was making her employees, the black ones, go through the back door. She didn't want them to be in the front. Paula Deen wanted to dress her black employees up as slaves. She wanted the black employees to stand in front of the building and ring bells like they own plantations. She did some real foul shit. And the thing is, she don't even know it's foul. Even the way she talked about her family, her great-great-granddaddy who was a slave owner, and she was talking about how sad it was that he lost his slaves. And I mean, this woman said all this shit. So she's so racist, she don't even realize how racist she is. It's so normal to her. And just because people are naive to their own deep-rooted racism don't mean I gotta give him a fucking pass. We don't have to give her a pass. Do you? I don't give a fuck if you're a nice white supremacist. There are child molesters who are nice. A child molester will give you candy before they fuck you. We gotta get it, not get this twisted. Just because somebody's being nice and then doing something real slick on the back end, I can't really excuse the slick vitriolic shit that they're doing just because they're smiling when they do it. So again, our brother, and I love Steve, and I like Steve, and I respect Steve, but that's a wrong move, and I know they probably tied his hands behind his back. I would have been like, hey, man, I might not have to come back next year. I couldn't do it. That's me. I'm not co-signing no known white supremacists. I'm not giving them a pass. If you want me and my people and black folks to dress up like slaves, and you cool with calling black folks nigger with the ER on it, and you think that black people are inferior to you, and you carry yourself on a daily basis, and the relationships you have with black people are reflective of your white supremacist views, I'm cool on you. Do you, but I'm not going to help you. And I think it sends a horrible message to black boys to even have that type of person around them. Why would you have an admitted white supremacist around black boys? That sends a horrible, horrible message. See, black folks, we're always made to take the fake moral high road for other people. That whole thing where black people are told, hey, black folks, don't be like us evil white supremacists. We're evil. Just look, we got all the wealth and resources, and we got it in a very devilish, evil way. So don't be like us. Be better than us. So you have your morality and you take the high road, and we'll keep all the wealth and resources, but we'll work on our little evil spirit. Deal? It's that type of thing we get from the suspected white supremacists out here. We're told to take the high moral high road that they won't take. Because we don't get forgiven for stuff we do. You don't see nobody in the dominant society talking about, let's forgive Ray Rice. They're throwing that dude under the bus every which way but Sunday. But we black folks, we're not so quick to be forgiven by those in the dominant society when we do something that they don't like. But we are always told and made and damn near forced to forgive straight up and down white supremacists. Just Donald Sterling. That's why he was running around to all the black churches and all the coons running up behind him, kissing his ass, which is sick. See, these older black folks, man, they set very bad examples for the youth. Kissing the white supremacist asses, that's a horrible example for young people. Young black folks, they see this and they see it for what it is. Weak. These young kids are not dumb. They know what weak ass kissing looks like. When they see all of these older black people kissing up behind the white supremacists, kissing up behind the Donald Sterlings, kissing up behind Paula Deen, that makes them look at you, the older black people, as weak. Like, why should we follow you? You up here brown-nosing these other people. Young black people need to understand and learn how to challenge white supremacy and empower themselves against it. That's what I teach. I'm talking about melanoid empowerment. I want the melanoid people out here on the planet to be empowered so they're not going to be affected by white supremacy in a negative way. And the young people need to understand this. Because, see, only a weak, conquered people would bring known white supremacists around their children. People did the same thing with Dog the Bounty Hunter. When Dog the Bounty Hunter was on that phone call, if y'all remember, when he was going on his white supremacist rant and he was talking crazy. It was nigga this, nigga that, and the niggas ain't got no soul. I mean, he was going deep with the white supremacy. I mean, it sounded like some shit from the late 1800s, the shit he was talking. And what happened with Dog the Bounty Hunter, they had him on TV with a whole bunch of black kids. He went out and bought a whole bunch of black kids some Christmas toys in order to get forgiveness. And we got to stop doing that. We got to stop looking whorish. We ain't that damn thirsty for no damn Tories. We'll take it from a white supremacist. And black folks got to get off that desperate whore ass mentality where we'll take attention from anybody, even if it's somebody who will openly despise us. We'll take attention from them. We'll take gifts from people who are not only openly despising us, but they're openly using us. And we know we're being used, and we'll just sit up and be used anyway. And when they're done using us, they go back to business as usual and disregard us. Black folks got to stop carrying themselves like prostitutes, low-level whores. We always got that whore mentality. And it's not even a money-making hoe. It's a stank hoe. You ain't even getting nothing for your hoeing. Let me tell you something. When Mel Gibson went on his racist rant and his anti-Semitic rant, the Jewish community would never have Mel Gibson around their kids. You will never see that in a million years. You will never see a bunch of Jewish kids getting mentored by some Mel Gibson ever. Because other groups have collective self-esteem. When you have collective low self-esteem, you will let anybody come along and mentor you, even when they tell you they don't give a fuck about you. The Dog the Bounty Hunters and the Paula Deans, they've said in so many words, they can give less than a fuck about us. Now they're pretending to care in order to get back into the good graces of the public. But we got to train our children to combat white supremacy, not make excuses for it. See, Paula Deen, I don't give a fuck about Paula Deen. I don't care how nice she is. Paula Deen is on that old Gone with the Wind Scarlett O'Hara shit. If you ever seen the movie Gone with the Wind, I saw Gone with the Wind for the first time on an airplane traveling recently. I finally saw the movie for the all the way through. It's a very long movie. It's almost like 3 hours. And that movie is just, it's white supremacist heaven. And that's that whole Paula Deen, that Southern Belle, that helpless, I'm nice, sweet Southern Belle. I'm having this interaction with my niggers. All my niggers are surrounding me and they're helping me and my Negroes know their place. It's that type of thing. And Paula Deen has that whole Scarlett O'Hara wannabe vibe. A lot of those Southern white supremacists, they have that Gone with the Wind type of thing, where the Negroes are their servants. That's why she wanted to dress them up. And it's that Gone with the Wind shit. I suggest you watch the movie Gone with the Wind to really get an idea of that Paula Deen mentality. But if you want to have somebody mentor black boys about cooking, Paula Deen is the last person you would get. You can go get Brother G. Garvin. Excellent cook. Black man, if you want to get G. Garvin, if you want to get somebody to teach black boys about culinary skills, go get, is a brother out here in South Central or from South Central, Chef Jeff Henderson. Jeff Henderson was in prison. The brother learned how to cook in prison because he was moving weight out here in LA. The brother went to prison, learned how to cook, got out and became a top chef. Brother has a show, I think he or had or has a show on the Food Network. I think it's called the Chef Jeff Project, something like that. That would be the person you would take to mentor boys to say, hey, look at this brother right here who looks like you. He took some wrong paths in life, got himself together and build up a brand for himself. He turned his life around. That's something that's inspirational. Get him. The fuck you gonna get Paula Deen? Just because she's out here trying to get her brand back popping and trying to, we gotta stop being used. I don't give a fuck about Paula Deen. All that old sad, I'm sorry, y'all. I didn't mean to call you nigga, y'all. That's just, I'm gonna change my ways, y'all. Fuck you. Fuck out of here. Do you. Ain't riding on the back of me. We need to be empowering ourselves. That's where we need to be with ours. We need to be empowering ourselves. I'm all about melanoid empowerment, ladies and gentlemen. Anyway, y'all, that's been today's episode of the Tariq Elite Radio Show. Don't forget to join me in St. Louis, Ferguson. This Saturday, ladies and gentlemen, the game is going to be heavy. The game is going to be tight. Join me this Saturday. We're having a free screening of Hidden Colors 3. I want y'all to come on down. We're going to take pictures, sign autographs, all that stuff afterwards. Have a great discussion afterwards. Follow me at Tariq Nasheed on Twitter. Follow me at Tariq Elite on Instagram. I will holler at you guys this Sunday on Ustream, and I will see y'all this Saturday in St. Louis, Ferguson. I'ma holler. Peace.